بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ہمارے حضرت والا حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نور اللہ مرقدہ مزدعہ کے عارفانہ اشعار, اور جس کا مضمون ہے زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے. زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے. بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے. زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے, زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے. آمین. زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے. سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے. کیا بات کہی. سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے, سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے, سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے. آمین. سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے, سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے. میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, wherever you are, میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, چاہے گھر پر ہو, چاہے ہولیڈے میں ہو, چاہے دیکیاب میں ہو, چاہے سمندر کے کنارے ہو, میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں. کیا نصیحتیں جو ہے ہمارے حضرت والا ہم کو دے گئے ہیں. بس یہ نصیحت اگر ہمارے سامنے رہے, کامیابی سامنے ہی ہے ہمارے. میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, کیا میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے, میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے. میں جہاں بھی رہوں, میں جہاں بھی رہوں جس فضا میں رہوں, میرا تقویٰ ہمیشہ سلامت رہے. ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے, ساری دنیا سے مجھ کو, ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے. پھر کیا رہے. بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے. سبحان اللہ, سبحان اللہ. ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے, بس تیرے نام کی, بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے. آمین. میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے. آمین. میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے, میری دنیا الفت سلامت رہے, میری دنیا الفت سلامت رہے. میرے دل میں تیرا, میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے, میری دنیا الفت سلامت رہے. عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا انشاءاللہ. عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا, عاشقوں میں عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا, اپنے اعمال پر گر ندامت رہے. یہ شرط ہے عاشق میں نام کب لکھ جائے گا, اپنے اعمال پر گر ندامت رہے عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا, اپنے اعمال پر گر ندامت رہے. تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا, تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا, تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا, اور دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے, اور دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے. میر بس دل میں درد محبت رہے, میر بس دل میں درد محبت رہے, میر بس دل میں درد محبت رہے, میری الف میری دنیائے الفت سلامت رہے, میری دنیائے الفت سلامت رہے. روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا. دعا کیا ہے توجہ چاہوں گا. میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے, میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا, روز و شب قلب اختر, روز و شب قلب اختر کی ہے یہ دعا. میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے, میرے مولا میری استقامت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, بس میرے دل میں تیری محبت رہے, زندگی میری پابند سنت رہے, سامنے ایسا خوف قیامت رہے, سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے. آمین یا رب العالمین.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفى. اما بعد, respected elders and friends, alhamdulillah, this very beautiful poem of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Hazrat Mona Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi Rahmatun Wasiya. This is just not ashar that presents and makes our heart happy. These are great bayans which Hazrat has presented in poetic form and made the tasawuf palatable and very enjoyable for us. And in this poem, alhamdulillah, Hazrat has made put the nichor, the crux of the tasawuf, why we should be coming to the majalis of the Ahlullah, what we should be coming here for. Hazrat says, Zindagi meri paabande sunnat rahe, that my life should become punctual and firm according to the sunnat of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what our Hazrat used to teach us all the time. And we learn from our honorable illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Mona Shah Abdul Hamid Sahab, Damat Barakatum, that our tariqat, our tasawuf is according and mudallal according to Quran and Hadith. Shariat and tariqat goes together. If a person has got shariat and he doesn't have tariqat, his shariat will be incomplete. And if you got tariqat but you don't have shariat, you'll go gumrah, you'll go astray. And we find today many different types of khankas also, carrying on, people making big zikr also. But it's not according to Shariat, it's not according to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are fooling ourselves that we are going to Allah, we're going somewhere else. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and we can't make enough shukr. Allah Ta'ala has connected us to such great awliya, ulama-i Dioban, and our aslaf, and particularly our honorable illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the mujaddid of this time. Like Hakimul Ummat, how he has stuffed out all the bid'at, etc. from the tasawuf. Our Dada Shaykh also, the way he presented that the tasawuf is enjoyable and lovable. And what is the tasawuf actually, Hazrat says, bas mere dil mein tere muhabbat rahe. That the most important thing in the heart a person must get, which is the heart, is the place of the king. It's the palace. And the palace, only the king must stay. And who is the king? The kings of kings, Allah Rabbul Izzat. Agar dil dena ho, to isi ko do jo jisne tumhe dil diya. If you want to give your heart, give it to that great being who has given you a heart. Allah will appreciate our hearts. And Hazrat says, this is the effort of the tasawuf, that in my heart only and only must be the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how beautifully again our Hazrat teaches us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. A person must be thinking now, what about the love of my wife, my children, my family? All that Hazrat says, no problem. Jais. In the beginning stages particularly, that the love of every, jais, love permissible. Have love for your wife also, have love for your car also. But the love of Allah should be ashad. That is, the love of Allah should be at least 51%. The love of everything else, 49%. And as you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we attend the majalis of the Ahlullah, then you'll see this is such a sickness. Juju dawaki bimari barti gai. That as you come in the majlis of the Ahlullah, and you understand the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes 100%. And that means whatever you do for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even you make love with your wife, it will be for the pleasure of Allah. That will be written in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all this is not just from Hazrat saying, this zindagi meri paband sunnat rahe. That my life should be totally, a person can claim I love Allah. But if we don't have sunnat of Nabi Kareem sawasam in our lives, then we are fooling ourselves. We don't have the love of Allah. And this is also as Hazrat has taught us, that our Shariat is mudallal. So thus Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you claim you have the love of Allah, or if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the condition is, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, follow my way of life, the lifestyle of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the way to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the criteria to see whether we've got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in return Allah ta'ala says, yuhbibkumullah. Allah will make us His beloved. And Allah, what is the reality of this? That Allah ta'ala's love comes in the heart. Now all the time, samne aisa khauf qiyamat rahe. Sab gunaon se meri hifazat rahe. That all the time, you got this reality in front of us, that one day I have to stand in front of my Allah. The day of Qiyamah is an absolute reality. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, every believer has got two Qiyamahs. Our first Qiyamah is when Malakul Maut comes to us. Then we'll realize, as Hazrat teaches us, that we make our zikr, like a parrot also makes zikr. And we get so happy, see my parrot makes zikr. But when it comes into the claws of a cat, then what zikr will come out? Is that zikr just on the tongue, or is that zikr in the heart? That time now the parrot, that asal sound of his te te will come out. So myself, first of all, we have to see whether this reality of Qiyamah is coming in front of us. This kafiyat ihsan, this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming in front of us. That every moment a person is conscious. And many people think and get scared, if I think of Qiyamah, what will happen? If I think of Maut, what will happen? Hazrat teaches us so beautifully that if you think of Maut, don't think you're going to die at that moment. No, death will only come on this particular time. But what does it mean? That temptations are all the time around us. The moment you get tempted to look at anybody, just think, Qiyamah day, how I'm going to answer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malakul Maut has to come to me, how disgraced will I be? So this world, this khawf of Qiyamah all the time. And this inshallah will save us from all types of sins. And this is why we come to learn, we come to the majalis to take out all the filth and dirt of dunya and this reality and khawf of qiyamah all the time. Allahu Akbar. Great, the greatest murid, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The greatest murabbi, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala sallam. After all the tarbiyat, as Hazrat mentions in front also, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, standing in front of Multazam, and what dua is reading? Ilahi abdukal asri ataqa. Mukirram bi zunubi wa kad da'aka. Intaghfirli fa anta ahlun lizaak. Wa intadrudni fa mayyar hamstiwaak. That, O Allah, abdukal asi, your worst sinner has come in front, the greatest ummati. And this is the reality. The more we get the reality of Allah, the more we realize how useless and how inferior and how what I'm going to do in front of Qiyamah. That, O Allah, my your sinful servant, you have brought him to your darbar. In taqfirli fa'anta'an. If you forgive me, O Allah, only you are worthy of showing mercy. And if you turn me away, which door can I go to? So we have to be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And this reality has to be with us all the time. May jaha bhi rahu, jis fida mein bhi rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. And this is the sum total and crux of the tasawuf. That we come here to gain this love of Allah. Then wherever we are, whichever part of the world, you can be a big businessman also, flying in first class all the time, whichever you can be in space all the time, or you can be alone in your home also, or like Hazrat Qari Sahib has mentioned, whether you are out on picnic or whether in your backyard, wherever you are, most important, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That the taqwa, that's love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Hazrat teaches us, myself first of all, let me think today, did I think, Ya Allah, are you happy with me? That this happiness of Allah, this is what we should be worried all the time. And Hazrat says that when this reality comes, then a person, wherever you go, temptations are going to be there all the time. We have to go and do our work. Like Hazrat explained so beautifully, one murid of our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to be a big businessman, used to fly in PIA Airways and first class. And generally when you fly in first class, sadly, even the Muslim Airways, the first thing you sit before the plane even starts, first class for passengers, the first thing they offer them is drinks. And in their drinks, they offer wine also. And as our Hazrat explained, that sadly today every person becomes a mufti. And what mufti Google is even worse. So their Hazrat says, even the air hostesses, Muslims, but they are muftis. So they offered this person, businessman, that here's your drink, please have this wine. He says, no, I don't have wine, I don't drink. So she a Muslim air hostess, but be a mufti. She says, if you drink lethal, you won't be intoxicated. So it is jayz, it's permissible. So he, because of the sohbat of the Ahlullah, your mind will open up. You'll become hadir jawab. You'll be able to see the situation. So he said, okay, if I don't want it, and if you say it's jayz and it won't intoxicate you, from my side, I'm giving hadiah to the pilot. Don't tell the pilot, have this. Say, no, the pilot can't have. Say, why? It won't intoxicate him. He says, 24 hours before he flies a plane, he's already regarded as on duty. So he can't touch one drop of wine. So he says, if the pilot is only 24 hours on duty, I'm my whole life all the time on duty. So he says, what duty you are? Say, I'm on Allah Ta'ala's duty. Allah Ta'ala is, oh, lam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Don't you know Allah is watching you? Otherwise, Hazrat says, myself, useless person like myself, want to sit on the aisle seat and tap the air hostess all the time and think getting enjoyment, but you're getting no enjoyment. So Allah Ta'ala keep our taqwa all the time, salamat. Sari dunya hi mein mujhko nafrat rahe, bas tere naam ki dil mein lazzat rahe. And now when you get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire world, and here we should understand what dunya means. Hazrat teaches us so beautifully, many people say, I'll kick dunya away. You kick dunya away, you don't even have food to eat, where are you going to have strength to kick dunya away? No, dunya means all those things that make us unmindful of Allah. All those things that will make us forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person realizes this and you get the love of Allah, then you get nafrat, hatred, all the sports and all this entertainment and all this fashion, etc. You see naturally, you become, you're not just disinclined, you start hating it. And you want to take it out of your life. Why? Because you just get the enjoyment of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the actual enjoyment of the name of Allah? It will start on the tongue, but it will penetrate the heart that whatever I'm doing, Allah ta'ala must be happy with me. Not a person, myself, my zikr is, we making astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and we still looking at the woman in the street. And if you're driving with Maulana, you still tell Maulana, look how these women are dressing, all scanty dressed. You making bad nazri, you telling Maulana also to make bad nazri. So no, when a person is got the love of Allah, then all the time the speaker is Allah Ta'ala happy with me. Mere dil mein tera dard ulfat rahe, mere dunya ulfat salamat rahe. And then all the time you'll be making this dua. Together with the dua, you'll be making dua. Very important, both these things must go together. Dua also, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But dua also, that is we have to come to the majlis, we have to take our treatment, and we have to make our zikr, and make an effort to stay away from guna. Many people say hard. Hazrat says, it's not hard, tum himmat chor hai. Allah gave you courage, you're not using your courage. Now you'll be making dua, ya Allah. This love that you have put in my heart, this dard ulfat, this pain of your love, to enjoy, to look, a person has got feelings, desires, just Allah has created us. You want to look at haram, but you'll go through that pain. Allah must be happy with me. And that pain is not a pain actually, it's enjoyment. And you make dua, ya Allah, please, this pain of this love of yours that you have put in my heart, keep it salamat all the time. And when will it be, when will the salamati and the it will remain intact? The moment we become unmindful and we slip into guna, then this love of Allah Ta'ala will slip away. So immediately tawbah istighfar. And then we beg Allah Ta'ala, Aashiko mein mere naam lik jayega, apne amal par gar nadamat rahe. That oh Allah, please, only and solely out of your mercy, also put my name among the aashikin. I don't deserve to be there. Where can my name in the aashikin? But oh Allah, uhibbu salihin walastu minhum, la'allallah yarzuqni salaha. The sign that we come here to the majalis, we love the friends of Allah. But what is the real sign of the love of the friends of Allah? When we leave the majalis, that we follow their teachings, and we stay away from haram, and we beg Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, our amal got no weight whatsoever. It can't, if Allah looks at our amal, we doomed for Jahannam. So Allah, please, only out of your kindness, write our names amongst the ashikin. Teri marzi pe har arzu ho fida, aur dil mein bhi uski na hasrat rahe. And what is the sign of the ashikin? Now all your desires, your temptations, you make it fida, you sacrifice it on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one pious person, somebody asked him, how are you feeling today? He says, what can you ask of a person according to whom desire, whose desire the world is functioning? People say, what this kufr, what according to your desire? He says, I have submitted all my desires according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a very high stage, rada wa taslim, taslim wa rada, higher than ikhlas also. So Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq through the barakat of our shaykh. We get just in the taste, not even the taste, just the flavor of these realities, and we should be crying and making dua for this. And when you give all your desires for the pleasure of Allah, in your heart you don't even have regret. Hey, I should have looked. I didn't look for Allah's sake, but I should have known what happiness, enjoyment you stay away from sin. You leave your sports, not, hey, I should have known the score. No, what you don't care what is the score. You don't even worry whether you know what. People say you are fool, you have no hasrat. Bas, mere bas, meer, bas dil mein dard-e-muhabbat rahe, meri dunya ulfat salamat rahe. Hazrat Aida addressing his very, very special Khalifa, very special Khadim, Hazrat Mir Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who showed how to love like a murid, how to love in the company of a sheikh. Or you say, sir, that in my heart only the love of Allah Ta'ala should be there. Raise bilkul hi ut jaye nazar. That my eyes also, my mind, my heart is taken away from everybody else. Only the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this love of Allah, which is my world, this is a real world. Oh Allah, keep this world of mine salamat all the time. We are worried about world of dunya. My car mustn't get crashed. This mustn't happen. Allah, keep all that salamat also. But real salamati is this love of Allah that must penetrate the heart. The whole heart must get colored with this. As Allah Ta'ala says, Tibghat Allah. The color of Allah must come into us. And the color of Allah you'll get from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this color comes into us. Then Hazrat teaches us all the time, the dua we should be begging all the time, roz or shab. That is day and night. Qalbi akhtar ki ye hai dua. From my heart, O Allah, this dua of mine, our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtasab Rahmatullahi, our Shaykh has taught us, and this is to teach us what dua we should be making. Mere Mawla, Mere Istiqamat Rahe. That, O Allah, you keep me firm. This world all the time, the heart also is qalb. It just turns all the time. All the time, temptations. And istiqamat is the most important thing. And istiqamat on deen, that is on sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Paaban on our zikr, like one murid of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, after staying 13 years, he say, Hazrat, now I want to leave. Hazrat say, like you tell a very close friend, Zalim, that my friend, what's wrong now? Now you want to leave me? He says, Hazrat, 13 years, I don't see any karamat. I don't see you flying in the air. And today we have misunderstood what is karamat. So Hazrat says, okay, my friend, you stay 13 years. Just think, one day did you see me doing anything against sunnat, against shariat? He thought for a moment, he was honest. He said, no, Hazrat, in 13 years, I didn't see anything against shariat, anything against sunnat. Then he said, oh, zalim, what greater istiqamat you want? Al-istiqamatu fawqa alfa karama. That to be steadfast is far greater than 1,000 karamats. And thus we see in our Honorable Shaykh. So Allah Ta'ala bring us here with this dua, and we should pay a pain, and Allah grant us this true love of His.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وهو يتولى الصالحين Respected ulama ikram, beloved elders and brothers, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and durood and salam be upon our noble master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, these words that are going to be emanating, these are all from the words from our elders, our Hazrat and other akabirin. Nothing from our side, whatever we have heard, whatever we have read perhaps. Allah Ta'ala, our intention should be that Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And our Hazrat always mentions the importance of the intention. The first day when I came here, last year, I asked Hazrat that, what's the situation, what's our program, how does a person get his islah made? So he told me it's simple. So if ever you go any majlis, you come, sit with the intention of islah, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will make your islah. So inshallah, that's all correct, our intention also. And Hazrat always tells us every day we should be making intention. We should have an intention for our life as well. So our intention is solely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get close to Him and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our true friend. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in this verse of the Quran al-Kareem, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the guardian of the person who is pious. What is the meaning of piety? Simple. A person who loves his life in conformance with the Sharia, the Quran the Kareem and Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person will be regarded as a pious person. We see nothing extra a person has to do. Our daily life, a person continues each and every aspect of his life. If he loves it according to the Sharia, he will be regarded as a pious person. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah is the guardian, what does this mean? We find a young boy perhaps, although his parents may be regarded as his guardian, or he hasn't got parents and someone else take over the guardianship. This person realizes that everything the guardian of mine will take care of. So if the guardian says that you are going to Durban for holiday, his friends might ask him, where are you going, how are you going, where are you going to be staying, have you got your food, everything, preparations. Simple answer he gives them, he says, that's not my problem, my father will take care of it, the guardian take care of it. Similarly we find, perhaps example is given by the elders, is that this person has got this boy, young boy, he's got his box of toys in his house, and he wants to take it outside. It's a very great big box for him because all the toys are inside and it's difficult for him to do that, so he starts crying. So now the father will come and say, what's the problem? He says, no, I can't move this box of toys from here, this is so heavy, how am I going to take it outside? For the father it's a simple task, perhaps with one hand he can just take the box, pull it and put it outside and say, there, your problem is solved. So similarly we find in our condition that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our guide, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes our guardian, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of. This problem of this boy trying to move this box from one room to the other, from inside outside, seemed to him as a major problem. There is no one that got more problems than me. But when the father came, the father sorted out in a single minute. Similarly, we find that each and every person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him problems. But when we place his problems for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in total control of everything, then this also for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the guardian of those people who have within themselves this quality of taqwa, piety. And how far does this quality, when a person becomes, everyone says, why must we become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the need? In one hadith it is mentioned clearly that sometimes in this world a person has a friend or his family members, they will remember him while he's alive. Perhaps when he leaves this world also, people will go to his grave, his children will go, his grandchildren will grow. And if he is lucky, perhaps the great-grandchildren may also go to this grave of this person. But thereafter we find perhaps there's no sign left of this grave. Mullah Shaykh Ali Thani rahmatullahi has written in the book Shawqi Watan, that our original place of our original abode being the year after. And this came to mind when Mulana was saying that when a person here speaks of death and everything, he should not be afraid. Actually, he should be happy, because he's actually going to the place where he belongs. So in that kitab, the hadith is written that one of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, by the name of Armiya alayhi salam, once he was passing by a qabr, and he saw a few graves, he saw the people, the inmates, did not know it was a graveyard. He saw people being punished and realized that, no, this is a graveyard, people are being punished. The hadith mentions further that after 1 year he came past and he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed the punishment. So he wanted to know, find out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is this the case? And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words mentioned in the hadith is, O Armiya, twice these words were repeated, that these people, when they came past there, their graves, basically there was no sign left of their graves. Their graves have become leveled, their kafans have become torn, and their hair has become decomposed. So I felt mercy on them, and that is why I removed the punishment of the grave from them. And he further says that similarly I do with those believers who I feel that their graves have become decomposed, their hair has decomposed, their kafan has become torn, and their graves have become leveled. Every believer I do the same with them. So once we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our friend, then no matter after how much time our families may have forgotten us, how many, two, three generations, they only remember us after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being is remembering us even at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming. So which better friend can a person have? وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ Second thing worth mentioning is one dua that each and every one of us should be basically reading every day. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Kansab rahmatullah alayhi used to mention this. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ Basic meaning of this is that, O my sustainer, grant me the tawfiq and ability that I express my gratitude to you, and أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي for the bounties that you have given me and my parents, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ and that I do those good deeds which will please you. Many times a person does good deeds. Mawlana Masihullah Kansab rahmatullah alayhi used to give the example. He says when a girl is getting married, before she gets married, we find the family members and her friends, close friends, come all close to her. And in our terms, we say they will doll her up, try to make her as beautiful as possible. And each and everyone will give comments that no one like you in the world, you're the most beautiful girl. I'm sure no one has ever set eyes upon person. And like this, they'll give comments. And thereafter, they'll take her to the room where she's going to meet her husband. And now she's alone for a while. And afterwards, when the husband comes, and everything is now dependent on the comment of the husband. If the husband decides that you are so beautiful, then whatever they said will be acceptable. But if the husband comes and decides that this is not what I am desirous of, then all their comments will be of no avail. So Mawlana Mansurullah Kansab rahmatullah alayhi mentions, he says the same is our condition, that many a time a person does deeds, he does good deeds as well, and these are deeds that have been encouraged in the Sharia, but, and we have people that are praising us as well. So everyone is telling us, MashaAllah, this is such a good deed you are doing, Alhamdulillah. And we're also feeling good about it. A time will come when we're all going to be alone. Like that woman was alone in that room, we are going to be alone in our covers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day will give us life again. And that's the day when we're going to see, when we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now say that this deed that we have done, MashaAllah, shabas for this. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to turn around and say, this was not for me, this was not what I desired. That's the day we're going to see what's going to be our condition. So daily we should be making dua Firstly, ربنا أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه. The first part is that a person should constantly be making shukr. The shukr also is an important aspect. Many a times we find we meet people who are ill, people who got some condition, and everyone says, don't worry, we are making sabr, Allah will reward us for our sabr and everything. More greater than the sabr basically is the shukr that a person makes. Why? The reason being that Allah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in the hadith, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, then definitely I will increase my bounties for you. A person can exercise sabr, he will get reward for that. Perhaps his reward is in the year after, but Allah Ta'ala's promise is that if you are making, you are grateful, then Allah's promise is that definitely I will increase it for you. So if a person is undergoing some type of hardships, he should look, as the hadith mentions, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر أن لا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. That look at those who are less fortunate than you, and not those who are more fortunate, because this is more conducive that you will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. So a person perhaps he had to go and amputate one of his fingers, and he is obviously in distress mode, that I've only got 9 fingers left. But to look at the bright side, like I say, yes, at least alhamdulillah I still got 9 left. One of the stories of one of the Khulafai Rashidin after the time of Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Muawiyah Rilwan was mentioned, it's a lengthy incident that this person went and was invited by a king, and he brought his son with. As they came there to the king, his son was kicked by one of the horses, and the son passed away, one of the Tabi'in most probably. So this person went to bury his son, and when he went to bury his son also, his leg, he fractured his leg. The next day they had to amputate it and everything. By the end of the day when he returned home, the people were complaining to him that now you went so far, you wasted your time basically. Not only did you lose your leg, you lost your son as well. So he replied by saying that if I have lost one of my sons, I still have 3 of them left. And perhaps one of my limbs are gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept 3 of them with me. So this quality of shukr should be one that daily a person takes out time firstly to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us iman, and Allah's promises that I will keep your iman. Allah has given us ability to do good deeds. If we are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah increase us, and let us continue doing these good deeds. And as mentioned, inshallah, we always make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with istiqamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi mustafa amma ba'd. Qala Allah ta'ala, ba'd a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Thalika huwa al-fawzu al-azim. Friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world for a very short space of time. And each and every person is looking for success. The other day, Allah gave tawfiq, we were speaking somewhere, and then one thought came to mind, that every person thinks in a different way. And if you go to China, I think I mentioned it before, and you put your hand on the head of a child, they take offense from this. And if you say that you are shortening the lifespan of the child. The same action, if you're done in another country, in India, they'll take it as dua. In fact, they will bring the children in front and they'll say, Hazrat or Maulana or whoever they have reverence for, they put your hand on the head of this child. So that it can be dua for him, it can be, they take good omen from it. So one place, they're taking it as an evil omen. Another place, they're taking it as a good omen. Like that, success also, each and every person is looking for success. Each and every person will gauge success in a different light. Somebody will find it in wealth, somebody will find it in offspring, somebody will find it in something else, somebody will find it in the pleasures of this world, somebody will find it in making effort for akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That, it is a very, very great success. Before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made towards the believers. That Allah has promised them, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ, about Jannah and the pleasures of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that is the great success. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a stupid person, a clever person, an intelligent person is that person who always keeps his nafs in check, who always keeps his desires in check, who always keeps himself in control. Like Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that always keep your mind, your intellect controlling above your desires. And above your intellect and your thinking, keep sharia. Ke aqal par sharia ko ghalib rakho. Now Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who keeps his nafs in control and he makes an effort for akhirah, that person is an intelligent person. In our terms, again, thinking differently. During the week, one parent wrote a letter that, Mulana, my child comes out from school a little late and is going to a certain school, so he'll only an Monday to Thursday, from his Isnain till Khamis, he has extra curricular activities. So he'll be coming to madrasa late. He'll only come after 4:15. So I wrote back on the same letter and I said, brother, the prerogative is yours, the priority is yours, the child, the ward is yours. Whatever you say, it's up to you. But it's how unfortunate that now when your child is in class 8, reached an age of understanding, now you are depriving him. Up till now, whatever we were learning, class 1, class 2, class 3, was like you said just now, parrot fashion. Now you're beginning to understand. Now we can explain to him, Masayat. Alhamdulillah, the child has been coming daily early. But I wrote to the parent that he's going to come 4:15, 4:45 in winter, madrasa dismisses. In between that time, we have to read Asr Salah. What is the child going to learn? So it depends on our priorities. It depends on how we look at things. That where are we looking for success? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us where success lies. That person is intelligent, that person is successful, who keeps his nafs in check. And when it comes to nafs and the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib al-Zillali, what did we know? What is nafs al-mara and what is nafs al-lawama and what is nafs al-mutma'inna and radiya mardiya? All this we didn't know. We read it, but we didn't know it. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us what is true success and who will be a successful person. And then on the other side, that person who just follows his every whim and desire, and then he sits back and he says, no, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah will forgive. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah's qualities are all there. But Allah is also Muntaqim, Allah can take revenge, Allah can punish. And every ayat of Quran Sharif, we take the ayat of Quran Sharif at the end. Inna Allah Ghafoor Rahim, Inna Allah Samiyun Basir, Thumma Ilayna Turja'un, Wa Huwa Alladhi Ilayhi Turja'un, whatever. The end portion of the ayat is the crux of the ayat. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about everything, Allah is saying, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is true success. What? That when a person will complete his responsibility. As we are saying, every person will look at success in a different light, in a different way. And the true success is the way of life of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, as per the teaching of a illustrious Shaykh Hazrat Mawla, one time we were sitting and Hazrat said, translate the ayat, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. That whoever will bring forth, and we all translated it this way, whoever will bring forth a deen other than the deen of Islam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be accepted. Hazrat Mawla said that you haven't translated anything. If you translate the word as deen as deen, if you ask you, who is Adam? And you say, Adam is Adam. You haven't introduced Adam to the person. You haven't said anything. Like that, if you're translating the word deen as deen, then you haven't said anything. Hazrat Allah in his compassion taught us that yeah, the word deen means a way of life. Whoever will bring forth a way of life, other than the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to be accepted. And again, the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh. Otherwise, all these things, as we said, we just read. We never took it to mind. And up till now, I haven't learned my first sabak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow in my footsteps. Follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is ita'at. And one is ittiba'. Again, the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh. Like Mawlana Isa Sahib Madhazillali said, that nothing from our side, all the teachings of our akabirin and the ahlullah, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that stay in their company, that it will definitely wear off onto you. So Allah is saying that if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because at another place Allah is saying that the most beautiful way of life to follow is the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lifestyle, the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the, but for who? For the person who makes akhirat his object, for the person who remembers and always considers that one day he's going to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person's feet will not be able to move from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he hasn't answered for 5 things. And the hadith goes on, the 5 things are mentioned. So if we want true success, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that most certainly your success lies, Allah has made it the standard, Allah has made it the criteria for success. What? The way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it will appeal to that person who has made akhirat his object. Otherwise each and every person is going to think of success in his way of thinking. He is going to take and think success in something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُوا وَلَهُ وَزِينَةُ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. They take note and take heed that the life of this world, which many a person including myself, has made the criteria that this is success. The person wants this and the person wants that and the person, every desire that the person wants, he wants to fulfill. So Allah is saying that take heed, this play, the life of this world is only tomfoolery. It's only a pastime. And then, وَتَفَاخُرُمْ, you are competing with one another. فِي الْأَمْوَالِ, in wealth. Well, and you are competing with one another in the offspring. That we are from this family, I am from that family, my father was like this, my great grandfather was that person, and he was so wealthy, and he had an empire, and we are always competing with one another in this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that the life of this dunya is nothing except a box of deception. What is mata'? Allah is using the word mata', yeah, the mata' al ghurur, that it is mata'. Mata', that kitchen cloth, what we say the faduk, or the wash rag, what we wash the basin with, what we clean the floor with, that piece of cloth that you don't give any value to it. And again, as for the teaching of our illustrious Shaykh, that Allah subhanahu wa Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and comes in Quran Sharif also to that meaning, that the entire value of this world in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even equivalent to a wing of a mosquito. And our Shaykh tells us that a mosquito has 6 wings. And out of 6 wings, not even one wing, not even equivalent to one wing of a mosquito. Had it had even that value, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given even a sip of water to drink to a non-Muslim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا أَيَّكُونَ النَّاسِ, that if it wasn't for the compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it wasn't that Allah took mercy upon us, took pity upon us, then Allah says, لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُخُفًا مِّن فِدَّةٍ, that if it wasn't for out of the thought for you, that you would have also gone that way. I would have given the non-Muslims such mansions, such homes, which were built of, which would have had roofs and thrones of gold and silver and all the pomp and glory of this world, I would have given it to them. But lest you would have also followed that way, you would have also gone astray. So this is the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it depends upon us that where we think is success. And what is success? If you want true success, then stay in the company of the Ahlullah. They will open up the eyes of our hearts and they will make us realize where success is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that in true essence is the true success when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am happy with you, and there go towards my paradise, go towards my Jannah. There are rivers flowing, there are rivers, there are gardens beneath which there are rivers and there are fountains and all that in the ayat. That is true success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with understanding, first of all, to realize what I have said, to put it into my heart, as our Daza Shaykh Hazrat Arif Billah Malana Mustafa Muhammad Akim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that when I'm speaking, my ears are closest to my mouth. That before my voice even reaches you, it is touching my ears. Allah put effect of it in my heart, first of all, thereafter everybody else, and give us the tawfiq of practicing. Wa ma alayna illa billah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadil ladhina istafa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Sadaqallahu al-Mawlana al-Azim. Honorable scholars, respected elders and friends, the little time which Allah Ta'ala has given us in this world is a time where each and every single one of us has to set actually the reality or what we call the quest of our life. We find in Quran Kareem that ulama explained to us that prior to us coming into what we call the life of this world or the life of this dunya, we were all in a place called Alame Arwah. And Alame Arwah is what we say the place of the realm of the souls. And here everybody was gathered in one place, everybody was gathered together, and Allah Ta'ala asked everybody in one voice, Alastu bi Rabbikum, that am I not your Lord? And everybody in one voice responded and said, Bala. Everybody said yes. So what we understand from here is that many times in this life, in this world,
There are many people that say that they are non-Muslims that live such a good life. Many times they do so much of work as far as social and welfare is concerned. In fact, a lot of times in the way in which they conduct themselves, many people say they do much more than Muslims itself. But what we understand from here is ulama ikram have told us that every single person within the recesses of his heart, he's got the life or the reality of Allah Ta'ala within his heart. And how do we understand this? Many people will say, and this we, ulama have also written, that when we're in the place or the realm of the souls, and we all said, Bala, yes, in one voice, Allah Ta'ala, you are our Rabb. And what had happened actually is that Allah Ta'ala had placed a stamp within our heart of His rububiyat, of His oneness. Allah Ta'ala had stamped it within every person's heart. So many a time a person will say that I don't remember I was in this place. I don't remember I came from the Alami Arwah. So many times the ulama ikram have actually written that every person, can you deny the fact that you were in the womb of your mother? Every person will say no, but you can remember it. Person will say no, I can't. Person will say, yes, I was in the womb of my stomach, but I cannot deny my mother, but I cannot deny it. Likewise, a person will say, if you ask him, did you suckle the breast of your mother? That person also in the same token will reply, yes. But you ask that person, can you remember it? Person will say, no. Were you an infant at one point? A person will say, yes, definitely. But if you ask that person, can you reject it? That person will say, no. So what we understand from here, there are certain incidences in our lives that every single person can testify. Every person can say, yes, it did happen to me, but I don't remember. Likewise, on the day of Qiyamah, when we come in front of Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala asks us about His being, a person will have to say yes. And how do we understand that this, as we are human beings, we got logic, we want to understand. If you take any single person and you take him in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the ocean, in a very, very dark night, and you drop this person alone in the ocean, see whose name you will call out. The word kufr comes from the word kafara, which actually one of the root words means to farm. And when a person is actually farming, what happens is that this person takes a seed, he makes a hole in the ground and he covers it. Likewise, within our hearts, respected friends, the seed of iman is in every person's heart. But when a person is a kafir, a person blocks this out. Like the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib, that at the end of his life, he said that I don't want to accept the message, because possibly the woman of what we call of the pagan Arabs of that time, of the Quraysh, they will say that Abu Talib, he just died because he was scared to accept the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The little lesson that we take out of here, respected elders and friends, is that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is inherent in the heart of everyone. And so beautifully the Sayyid Mufti Ali has explained, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that every single person is searching for the epitome of success. And that success actually, respected friends, is the love and the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. And this is a primary reason why every single one of us has come here, is to come and sit in the company of those who love Allah Ta'ala, so that that love of Allah Ta'ala can what we call permeate within our hearts. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, has mentioned so beautifully that there are four stages in suluk, or there are four stages actually when a person, there are four stages. There are four stages actually when a person, there are four stages in the life of a person, and a person wants to reach Allah Ta'ala. And Hazrat has given a very beautiful parable that actually when a person digs what we call a well, then what happens is the first thing you are only digging sand. But a person understands and he knows that at the bottom there is water. But the great lesson we take from here is that somebody had to tell you that there's water at the bottom of that well. You won't dig in any certain place. So a person continues to dig. And in the same way, when a person starts to come in the company of the Ahlullah, when a person starts to make his journey towards Deen, towards Islam, you might not feel anything, you might not see anything. But if a person carries on, there will come a point that actually a person starts what we call to dig, what we call like mud, where there is a little bit of water and there is a little bit of sand. But a person continues to dig. And many people, ya Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, was mentioned so beautifully that many people get very excited because you start to feel some enjoyment at this particular point. But a person doesn't stop here. One great lesson also we take out from here is that, like we see in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a person called Abu Jahl, Utbah bin Rabi'a, and many others like them. That may Allah Ta'ala save us, that when we come in the company of the Ahlullah, when we come in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't look down upon these people. Imagine a person saw the face of Nubuwwat, but Allah Ta'ala described that person, and not only did he see what we call, he didn't see the light of Nubuwwat, he actually hated what we call in Nubuwwat. So very importantly, respected friends, that what we understand in the line of suluk, we should never ever have i'tiraz with our mashayikh. Even if we don't have something within our lives, our heart should unite with their teachings. Let that heart unite and say that this is what is the ultimatum and I need to get there. And this is the biggest problem in the ummah, that 95% of us have actually mapped out our own deen within our minds. Deen is what we call clear cut from Allah Ta'ala. It will never be what we call according to what we think, and deen will never adjust itself. Like our Shaykh gives a beautiful example, if a person goes to a shop and that person buys a 6 size 8 shoe, but that person's foot size is a size 6. Now a person won't, or the person's foot is actually bigger than the shoe size, or the shoe itself, a person doesn't cut his foot to fit actually into the shoe. The person will buy the right shoe size. So deen is clear cut, it's set. And really this is the primary purpose of our mashayikh, respected friends, that the deen that was revealed to us, the deen that came through the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they keep it clear cut. So anyways, continuing on this beautiful example, this Hazrat Shah Hakim Sahib then tells us further that a person will come now after mud. A person will carry on digging, and a person will come to a point that there will only be what we call water and sand. But still it's not pure water. And now a person starts feeling the enjoyment in his heart. There's a very beautiful example here. One time Hazrat Shah Hakim Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, was walking with his Shaykh, Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri, Rahmatullah Ali. And they were actually going to Delhi, and on their way to Delhi they lost the road. So what had happened is that they didn't realize, but they were walking towards a road that led to a riverbank. So immediately Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, he told Hazrat Hakim Sahib, he told him, he said, we are actually coming to an area where there's water. So immediately Hazrat Hakim Sahib told him, he said, Hazrat, how do you know that? So he told him, he said, I can feel the coolness in the air. And it actually did happen. So likewise, when we come into the gatherings of the Ahlullah, we will find the coolness of the heart. And really this is something we should search for, something we should make dua for. And this is a real, real, real treasure a person should understand. If Allah Ta'ala gives you an iota of it in his heart, Allah has not wanted like what he wanted with Abu Jahl, where he made you see hatred in these things. Our Shaykh gives a beautiful example. For example, many people go into a beautiful garden, or when animals go inside, then just like a pig, when it goes into a garden, in spite of beautiful flowers, that pig will only look what we call for the manure. He will only look for that piece of dung. Never should it be that we come into these gatherings and we see faults, but we should look at the beautiful flowers and the beautiful bayanat of our Shaykh. Sometimes a person looks in front, he sees roses. On the one side, it sees daisies. On the other side, a person sees another flower, and the scent of each one, how beautiful it is. Now a person carries on digging, a person carries on going, and then a person comes to a point where a person actually finds what we call khalis, pure water. And that's also what every person is looking for, whether it's in the effort of dawah, in the effort of kitabs, what is called yaqeen. And the ulama have termed this as what we call a word used as rasikh, meaning the very deep crevice of the heart. And this we see is, for example, if a person is going in a landscape and a person is walking and he goes up a mountain pass, and then a person comes right to the top and a person goes into a cave, and he walks left and right, and he comes to a point where there's beautiful clear water. And that water is such that it doesn't get affected by any weather condition. That water is what we call stable at every single moment, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, raining, snowing, all the time that water in the same position. Now this is the thing, respected friends, when we find Allah Ta'ala's love, that we will come to a point that that water within our hearts does not become affected by the outside societies. Really, respected friends, in our day and age, we are challenged as parents, as teachers, as friends, with the technological age, with so much of wrong and haram. But we should remember, don't ever get despair, don't ever give up hope. These are the circles that Allah Ta'ala has created for us. What we should always try and do is always we should link our heart with the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, ittila. Attend the majalis, person comes to what we call ittila and ittiba. a person, what we call, discusses a person's spiritual maladies, and now a person follows the treatment. This is the system which Allah Ta'ala has kept in the Quran. In every majlis, our Shaykh reads this ayat, that every person, ittaqillah, Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah Ta'ala, wakunu ma'as-sadiqeen. And that wow, what we call, normally there's two, what the one wow which is called atifa, and wow is called wasliya. That in order to get taqwa, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, hatta takunu mithlahum. That be with the sadiqeen until you come to them. And really, as we started from the start, as Allah Ta'ala and Alam Arwah all asked us, that what, who do you believe in? Do you believe that I am your Lord? And we said, yes, O Allah. Allah has already put a precondition of what is success in our hearts. We cannot look for success anywhere else. We'll never find it. But search it at the feet of the Mashaykh. And there's so much more really respected elders and friends as our Hazrat's teachings are. But the basic thing, let us all make a firm intention actually from those little words that we will, what we call, make itila, discuss our spiritual conditions and follow it. The internet won't be a challenge. The discipline of our children won't be a challenge. The television won't be a challenge. The fitnas in the airports, holiday destinations, in fact, it will become a real enjoyment.